Press control to crouch.
The Crouch Peak Podcast.
Welcome to a gloomy and depressing episode of the Crouch Peak Podcast. I am your host, Lucas at Dust 2. As always, this podcast is a part of the Dust 2 Network. Just going to jump right into it. Going to rip the Band-Aid off fresh. EPL Group D happened, and it was less than exciting. In fact, it was disappointing, I would say. We had two representatives as a part of Group D for North America, that being Complexity and Evil Geniuses. And if you did not tune into that one, let me fill you in. So, between the two teams, we have a round difference of minus 82. Between the two teams, we have 10 maps played and one win, accounting for a total win-loss record of 1-9. And that only victory coming by way of Complexity versus Evil Geniuses. So, neither of these two North American teams won a match against any of their opposition that was not North American. So in my opinion, that is worst case scenario, because literally there is no way both of them could lose all five matches. So this is worst case scenario, unless I'm missing something. We had some interviews between the two teams coming into the event, one of which, you know, kind of sticks out amongst pretty much everybody's, which is Junior's interview prior to Group D. He said quite a few things, obviously, in an interview. One of the key things was talking about how Complexity is the best team in North America. So obviously, that interview comes before the matches. It's impossible to not be excited about their prospects coming in. And there were reasons to be excited as far as Complexity is concerned. They played Na'Vi pretty close a couple times over on those two maps. And the series with Astralis was competitive. The loss to AGO was frustrating. The loss to Heroic was off of some funky travel issues. So I'm not going to say whether or not Complexity would or would not beat Heroic under normal circumstances. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in just kind of what is factual here. And what is factual here is that they only beat EG, and that is upsetting. So the only thing that could be more upsetting is not beating anybody, which is in fact what Evil Geniuses did. Now, of course, these are two different teams with two different contexts surrounding them. Evil Geniuses, far and away, you have higher expectations for, not only for this group, but pretty much every event that they're at and every event that they will be at. So pretty much in every sense of the word, they have failed on those expectations. EG was unimpressive at Blast. They qualified for the Americas RMR, but it was through some controversial fashion, losing to a team in Strife that they probably shouldn't have. Actually, not probably, they outright should not have. And then here we are with Group D. So where are we with Evil Geniuses? That's where everyone wants to know. Everybody has their own opinions on the matter, whether we keep going with them, whether we change one player, whether we change two players, whether we change the whole freaking team. I've seen a whole plethora of opinions kind of surrounding this team throughout, and you can tell that this lineup is becoming a source of frustration, not only for North American fans, but fans of these specific talents. There's a lot of story behind a lot of these players that goes just beyond the major. You know, with Automatic returning from Valorant, with Rush returning to the limelight, and obviously with Stewie2K being a fan favorite, you know, internationally, there was a lot of high praise as far as what people were hoping for from this team. Not only what the expectations were, but also the perceived abilities of the players, specifically because of the resume that the players have built throughout, you know, their careers, you know, with the trio winning the major, with the duo being with EG at one point hitting number one. A lot of proof in the pudding as far as what these guys were capable of. So then for some reason, when combining the on-paper and in-server talent of these five individuals, combining them all together, and then, of course, accompanying them with the tactical prowess of Malik and his assistants, it, for some reason, has not panned out. And there's a lot of answers that I probably cannot come to give you because I don't, like, work there. So obviously some of that, you know, could be internally solved if you worked there, but, from the outside looking in, there are some things that we can kind of decode, decipher, kind of process and, you know, maybe potentially work through from a spectator's perspective. And, you know, looking at the RMR just 4 days away, and you gotta putting into, into context, the fact that you did bring in a coach like Malik, somebody who's here to win. And, you know, when you just look at this lineup, it never really felt like this lineup was going to be together very long if they weren't going to succeed. And the abysmal performances that they've offered so far leads me to believe that if something doesn't come of this RMR event, if they fail and they don't make the top six and they don't go to the major, I think that's it. And I don't think that's a very very tough limb to be standing out on. I feel like the writing is on the wall when it comes to this team. They haven't produced. They don't have like that one star to look to as like a source of entertainment or a source of like keeping them in the game. I mean, this might be my own personal perception, but the only person that looks worthwhile right now is Rush. Now that in and of itself is a problematic sentiment because Rush inherently is not there to carry you. He's there to be the glue guy. He's there to keep everything together. He's not there to get you over the hump. He's there to make sure that you don't crack and fall apart at the seams on your way to getting over the hump. But barring him, everybody else looks flat, replaceable. I mean, especially when you consider Automatic's return, this might be my incorrect perception of that transition back to from Valorant, but I thought by now he would have it figured out, and unfortunately that's not what's happening. So moving forward, we have the RMR in 4 days. We are in agreement as far as, you know, this episode is concerned. EG is, you know, on the brink of implosion. From a management perspective, you're probably looking at this last event as a last hurrah in case something doesn't pan out. And me personally, if I were management, I would at least maintain proactivity in terms of potential replacements. Not necessarily saying you're going to do it outright, but you know, you need to be a little realistic with yourself, recognize the disappointing results, and you need to consider a backup plan just in case. And, you know, I'd like to think management of this capacity, being a tier one org, I'm sure they've thought this through. Of course, I could be wrong in that regard, and maybe they haven't thought of it whatsoever. Maybe they're just going to wing it and see how it goes. But for the sake of, you know, fantasy general management is concerned, you know, everybody's favorite topic of Counter-Strike. When we look at this EG team, let's say they bottom out. What do you do? Do you implode the whole thing, or do you just, you know, kind of pick apart and fill as you need? Or, you know, what's the protocol here? So just touching on the philosophy that I like to operate on, I'm not a big fan of making replacements in lineups until you give the team an ample amount of time. Of course, there are extenuating circumstances for that. You know, obviously personality clashes, idea clashes, stuff like that, performance issues or behavior issues, etc. But when I'm looking at this lineup, you know, when you think about the fact that Cirque and Breeze have been on this this lineup, not necessarily with these other three players, but as a part of EG for so long, I think for the sake of freshness, Maybe that's not the strongest reasoning, but I think for the sake of that, you probably start with them. Those two were a part of the stagnant lineups of past. From an identity standpoint, it might be good for EG to finally just get rid of Breeze and Cirk and officially wash themselves away of the lineup branding of history's past. I know that they've done a lot for the organization as far as modern Counter-Strike is concerned, but there's not enough there, I think, to constitute like hanging on longer than you need to, honestly, especially when you consider like the current landscape of the scene. NA is just getting walloped right now, so EG really could use anything that they can get to kind of get back on track. I know that if we're being serious about an EG rebuild and we wanted them to actually be a stronger product at the tail end of the rebuild, just being realistic, it's probably not going to be two North American players unless, you know, there's something that I'm not considering, when I'm like weighing all of my options. But if you want to like guarantee that you will improve, and you're coming from the perspective of Malik, right? Somebody who's there to win, somebody who's not native to this domestic region, we're probably talking about European imports. And I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles in the current landscape of NACS. Unfortunately, we're just not strong enough in that regard, but it's really going to come down philosophically, like what they would want to do in this situation. So I'm just going to go ahead and just take the reins here. Let's just assume I'm Malik here. I'm just going to pretend to be Malik in this situation. If I had to do away with two of these individuals, like how I'm talking, and I do start with Cirque and Breeze, and I do go European, I already know the two players that I'm calling first, and these are the two players that I'm calling first. And if I'm Malik, I'm calling Amanek first, I'm calling JKS second. The only reason why I'm calling Amanek first is because I have familiarity with the guy, and I'm calling JKS second because of his stellar stand-in run with FaZe. These are two individuals that currently are resting on the bench, both of which deserve opportunities in Tier 1, and both of them have the skill set that I think EG is lacking from a positional standpoint, from a mental, from a everything standpoint. Maybe a little bias here. I've personally interviewed both of these guys as well. So, you know, I like both of them for specific reasons from a personal standpoint. But I think Amanek's previous run in G2, albeit the abrupt end because of the replacement of Monacy, if Monacy, the hottest talent, prospective talent, mind you, you know, he's kind of dubbed to be the next Simple or Zywoo or greater. If that guy's not available, G2 keep Amanek. So, I mean, it's like, you're only getting replaced by literally the best talent. So, Amanek, in every sense of the word, deserves to be on a team. And then JKS absolutely deserves to be on a team. So, me personally, that's where I would go first. And I feel pretty confident with those two before we talk personalities, before considering how they would mesh or not mesh or anything like that. I would stick with those two personally. Now, my logic for these two players, obviously going beyond the general familiarity with Malik and Amanek, I know that Amanek a lot of times gets kind of swept aside. He's not often the initial, like, set of French players that people consider, when just having that conversation. But Amanek has done a lot, and it's been documented as far as like his evolution of the game in terms of like what he will do for a team in order to win. And I think that's something that is really underappreciated in the landscape of CS. He's done a lot of various things, including on this iteration with G2 prior to his departure, he was opping. So, he's very malleable in that sense. He's a coach's player. So, before you even consider the fact that he did this with Malik himself, it makes him an ideal candidate. And then, of course, the familiarity just rings it true even further. And I just want to make note that when when you're scaling through Aminek's performances, some of his best performances came against the best teams at the major, when they play second place. So you have to definitely give him credit as far as his contribution to the team's success, not only in the major, but outside the major as well. So that's my logic for Aminek. As far as JKS, I rate JKS very highly. Even before his run with FaZe, that was a guy that I absolutely thought deserved to be on a team. Many of us did, going back to our free agent showcases on Rush B Media. He was one of the spotlighted figures, and his article did fairly well, actually, because he is a fan favorite. People like Mr. Savage. He's a fun player to watch. So I don't think I'm alone in that sentiment when I say that it would be nice to have him on EG. And I'm sure there's people out there that agree, and I'm sure there's people out there that disagree. So, I'm sure there's a few other players that we could consider without even doing any like digging from like logic stringing is concerned, like making sure everything fits and stuff like that, without talking monetary amounts. Those are the two players that like ring true as like the two de facto best picks for replacing Cirque and Breeze. And me personally, that's just what I would go with. When it comes to the idea, should EG pull the plug? Not all the way. Just kind of like shimmy it a little bit out so it like flickers on and off, you know, like the lamp just kind of like off on kind of thing. Just let it know that like, hey, I'm serious. I'm really serious, but I'm not there yet. One more mishap and I'm there. And that's how I feel about the situation. I don't think we're ready to give it up yet, but if they walk into Romania at LAN with, you know, these multiple weeks to prepare, and, you know, when you stack rank these teams, even on paper, I know with the poor results and everything, on paper, this team makes a legitimate argument for making top six. So not making top six, especially if, like, Party Astronauts makes it, or one of these lower, like, if Case makes it. If Case makes it over EG, that's, like, no way. There's just no way that can happen. Then you pull the plug. Absolutely, you pull the plug. No offense to Case. It's just from a standpoint of what you expect from your core, from your lineup, from your brand. Evil Geniuses, if I'm representing that org or if I'm running that org, I expect to be there every time. So if I'm paying all of these players to get this done and it doesn't happen, and let's say a team like Case or Party Astronauts or 9Z or, you know, any of those teams, if they make it over EG, that's it. I'm pulling the plug. And I don't even mean to undermine Case. I genuinely think that's a good team. It's just, we're talking three major champions here. We're talking two of the individuals that were a part of the EG squad that was at one point the best in the world per HLTV ranking. There is no excuse for this. This is do or die. It's got to be. So right now, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at April 11th, RMR, do or die. And honestly, that's just where I stand. I don't think any other team in North America really has the same pressure that EG is operating on. But I think as soon as they took the avenue that they opted for when they signed this team, when you consider the free agency landscape and all of the options they had and what they opted to go with, you put yourself in this predicament. You put yourself in a short-term, high-expectation protocol. You need to churn out results right away, because in no capacity was this a team that was designed to exist long-term. And, of course, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. So that's my two cents on EG. And going beyond EG, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, although we're pretty close to it. You know, we're not quite at DEFCON 5, but we're right there. We're so close. But Liquid reeled us back a little bit closer to, you know, normalcy, pulled us away from the edge by beating Heroic yesterday in the initial playoff series for EPL. So that was awesome. I thought that I had put a forever curse on this region with my NA is healing roadmap podcast and article that I did, you know, a couple months back when I was still with RBM. So I'm glad to see that we're getting through this and we are in fact capable of winning things that are not just domestic matchups. So two thumbs up to Liquid. Hopefully they continue that. But although probably the very moment I put this on record, it threw a curse back out into the universe. And now Liquid will probably just get destroyed in the next series because I am apparently cursed. But beyond, you know, professional, quote unquote, you know, international Counter-Strike, I guess you can still call it professional, semi-professional, whatever. In the lower circuits of North American Counter-Strike, if you were not tuned in to ESCA Advanced or ESL Challenger League this season, banger seasons, and we got some great games, and the playoffs are just finishing up, and it was good stuff. But shout out to MIBR for going undefeated the whole season of ECL. They only dropped one map in the regular season and one map in the playoffs, and that was in the grand final. So shout out to MIBR for winning season 40 of Challengers League, and see them at Pro League. And shout out to Mythic for making it through Advanced. So they will be in Challengers League next year. So, or not next year, excuse me, next season. So, all around exciting stuff. Those were two great, you know, league competitions that we're always excited for. And yeah, so shout out to Mythic and MIBR. We'll be seeing them in their advanced leagues next year. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And that's pretty much all I got, guys. Moving forward, right now we're in the thick of the major cycle. So we have the RMRs coming up very soon. That's coming up on the 11th. Keep your eyes and ears tuned into Pro League that's going on the rest of this week. And then we just got finished up with the Liga Ace Blast qualifiers. So with Payne qualifying through that event, we now have all of the teams set up for the Blast Showdown in NA, which is very exciting. That's coming to us at the end of the month, around the 27th, I believe, off the top of my head. And so be sure to tune into that as well. We'll have eight of the best, you know, assumed best teams in North America competing for some qualifications to Blast. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got, guys. Between EG, Advanced, and ECL, it's been pretty crazy. Everybody who is, you know, tuned into the Advanced and ECL echelons of CS, stick around to the dust2.us website as always. Not only do we provide the latest up-to-date information regarding any kind of roster moves that are going to happen for these teams, we also launched our off-season tracker, which will have everything laid out for you nice and neatly chronologically for those who want to stay tuned in to the moves happening in those two leagues. So yeah, just go ahead, pull up that front page and, you know, stay up to date. And of course, read the articles that we post originally, because we love your support and we love your clicks, and you guys continuing to put eyes on our products gives us reasons to not only produce more but grow more. So shout out to you guys for all of your support. And on that note, I am going to close it. So thank you for supporting me in this episode as well. I will be back soon with everything ramping up. We're getting in the thick of NACS. So I just want to be active. So keep your eyes peeled, keep your ears peeled, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks as always.
Press control to crouch.
The Crouch Peak Podcast.